I do want to begin focusing on prayer as our kind of focus for July, August. And I want to do that in a number of different ways. I shared a video on our YouTube channel, or if you get the email newsletter, it came out. I was using that time to describe to you why we're doing what we're doing in July. Nothing really changes at 10 o'clock. This is the service you typically come to if you're here, probably. So we will have one service in July throughout the entire month. I'll be away for 2 weeks doing a bit of a Sabbath and doing 2 weeks back-to-back for that purpose. If you watched that video, I explained that there. If you didn't, please take a look at that so you can kind of get an idea of why we're doing what we're doing. And this goes with it because next Sunday is our church picnic, so we do a lot of Grace Church family kind of things with new members, baptisms, stuff like that, recognizing graduates, different things like that. And so we'll be out there. We'll have lunch to follow. If you're planning on coming, please sign up so we know how many to plan for providing lunch. And if you'd like to bring something, that'd be great. You can sign up for that. So it'll be a little different next Sunday. But July, the focus, the intentional time of every Sunday and that entire month is really about prayer. And so I want to kind of kick that off this morning and share with you why this is important. If you've been a follower of Jesus, you know why it's important, but sometimes we forget some of these basics. If you haven't been following Jesus that long, I want to share with you why this is so important. So the title is To Know God is to Know Prayer, and first we got to define that word know. What does that mean, to know God? To know something about God, to know information about God, is there something different going on there? And if we know God, I think that the equation would go then, if you know God, then you know what it means to pray, to have a prayer life. And so I think the two go hand in hand, and I want to draw that out this morning. By using Psalm 63, our worship this morning in our singing was helping with this because really, prayer is about being in that presence of God. And I think in Psalm 63, in the Old Testament, it's 150 songs or prayers that were set to music talking about the importance of a prayer life. Psalm 63, I think, highlights, gives us a great example, models for us what a prayer life looks like when you truly know God. Now, David is the author of this prayer. It's during a time where he's in the desert, depending on what kind of Bible you have. A Psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah is how it begins. That's part of the manuscripts that we would have had to translate all this. It's not going well in his life. His son just had a coup, took over. He's fleeing from his own son. He's not king right now, because Absalom, his son, is trying to take over. So he's in a desert, and his life is a wreck. And so Psalm 63, I think, captures what a vibrant prayer life ought to look like. I think it's a great model. It's a type of prayer life that I aspire to. I want to have this kind of prayer life, and there's no reason why he should be praying the way he's praying. And so I ask God to give us desert-like conditions, so that you would get more acclimated to him being in the desert. It's like 81 degrees in here right now. If you, at the end of the service, walked up to me and said, Ted, here's a check for AC, I would not stop you. If you want to do that, go for it. I'm not going to stop you from doing that, to put AC in this place. But now you're going to get a little taste of what it was like for David. If you're really thirsty right now, maybe you missed Connection Cafe, you didn't get something to drink, you're hot, you're fanning yourself. Anybody getting thirsty? I want you to get thirsty. My lawn is really thirsty. It's all brown out there. We're in the desert. And here's David's prayer. This is him talking with God. And he just decided to write it down. Thank you for doing that, because I think it gives us a great picture of what prayer looks like. I don't think this is unique to him. I think it's something God invites all of us into, That's that last song we sang, that ocean song, the depth to which the relationship God calls us into takes some challenges sometimes, puts us in difficult places sometimes. David was there, but listen to how he talks with God. Verse 1 of his prayer. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. So do you have the image of the kind of seeking, the kind of longing that David is doing here? This isn't like just David being touchy-feely. This is him like going to the very depths of his soul. He's at a really bad spot in his life right now. He's out in the desert, and he's just picturing God being that refreshing water for him. My soul longs for you. I seek after you earnestly. In a dry and parched land, there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. David's talking about the temple. He's worshiped God there, Yahweh's presence. He said, the God of all creation said, I'm going to dwell in this temple. And David was there. He was a part of that. And he's experienced God in that temple. He's seen him in his glory. And if you read in the Old Testament, a guy named Ezra, a guy named Nehemiah, when Israel was exiled, they were living in a foreign land, and God's bringing them back to Israel. They're going to rebuild the temple. And they're starting to rebuild the temple, and they're just crying and weeping because it pales in comparison to what David would have experienced. The temple is just so minor, so minuscule to what it was. David experienced that. He's seen and beheld God in all his glory. And he concludes this, because your love, now he's not in the temple, he's in the desert, he's fleeing, he's hiding. Life is a mess. But there's something greater than just being in that temple. He says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Even though I can't be there to be in your presence, your presence out here in this dry land is better than life, and I will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. As long as I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to praise you. In your name, I will lift up my hands. He concludes here in verse 5. There's more to this prayer, but I'm going to stop here in verse 5. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. I have no clue how long it's been since David has eaten anything. He's out in the desert. He's fleeing. He's got to stay in hiding. I am fully satisfied. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Now that, to me, is an amazing picture of prayer. And it's an amazing picture of prayer because David knew God. And there is a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. David knew about God, but he knew God in a deeper way than just that. And I want to emphasize this as we talk about prayer, this difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Now, again, David is not like he was the quintessential perfect person. Many of us know about David's life. I don't know, not that we're comparing sins here. I don't know how many of you stole another man's wife, plotted to have him killed, sent him to the front, withdrew the troops, and he got killed by enemy troops. So you shouldn't compare sins, but if I am, I'm not quite bad as David is. But Psalm 63 is his prayer life. Because David knew God. He didn't just know about God. Now, that word in the Greek is gnosko. It appears like 190 some times. And it's talking about and refers to something more than just information, than just knowing about someone or something. And this is how it's defined. It's actually this same word, gnosko, is used to talk about a husband and wife when Adam knew Eve and they had children. If you get my drift there, that's kind of the knowing that is going on here. There's something deeper than just knowing information about something. And this is the aspect that I think is powerful about Psalm 63 that is open to every single one of us. This doesn't have to just be some stellar Christian like David or some guy that was we look at as just, we put him up here on this role model pedestal. David's life was not a life of a role model in the sense that he was perfect. But it is a life that if we want to be after God's own heart, when was the last time you told God that his love was better than life itself? When was the last time you actually said, you, God, are my God, and I earnestly seek you? That it was obvious that you were running after God. This type of prayer life, this type of knowing God is open to all of us. And it's more than just information. It's experience. There's relationship there. So I want to kind of give you this image of how we understand it. One, I'm going to use marriage as part of that. And I also want to just show you a little bit. So I'm going to need two volunteers. Scott, I'm going to need you to come up here. Bobby, I'm going to need you to come up here, buddy. I did not prepare these guys. They have no idea what they're going to do. I've got ice cream. You're going to become a human sundae and know what it's like. Okay, I need you guys to stand there. Get a little bit closer. Put your arms out.
Like this?
Nope. Like you're going to, like this. Put your arms out like this.
Okay.
Now I want you to be kind of like that, and you're kind of like that. Yeah, keep it close together. Thank you. So I know both these guys. I know about them. I know where they live. So be careful. I know their phone numbers. I know their families. I probably know some more information about them too that maybe you guys don't know. Because, well, as thank you, Jesus, for the breeze. It's actually coming. So I know all of that information. I know about them. If you gave me a piece of paper, I could write some stuff down about them. But there's a difference between knowing about them and knowing them to a level where I will trust them. There's like this relationship. We've done different things together. I've been different places with them. I've been at both their houses now. So I know about them, but there's something else going on in this kind of knowing that I'm saying this is what God says how we should know him. Not just know about him, but know him. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go like this. Now you got to drop your hands a little bit. I'm not that tall. And I'm going to fall back, and you guys are going to catch me, okay? And when you know somebody, you're willing to trust them, put your life in their hands. Now, I got a lot to do this coming week, guys, so I hope you are prepared. Okay, I'm going to fall back. You catch me. Now, push me back up. Jeez. All right, have a seat. Great job. Strapping young men, thank you. Now we don't have this. Who said let go? Adam? Vince? And I even had you do this early service, jeez. You think you know a guy. Now when I was in youth group, we actually were standing on a platform and there was like 10 of us and you dropped off the platform and they caught you, the trust fall. Maybe some of you have done the trust fall before. That's the knowing I'm talking about. There's got to be something beyond just knowing information. So if anybody's been married for a long time, there was a time where you knew about this person, you knew them, but that relationship changed. So we celebrated, Luke and Sarah got married last week, and they knew each other from growing up here at Grace Church, but their relationship changed. They got married and they made some promises to each other and they're going to know each other in a different way than they knew before. And I found out last week when I shared that Luke and Norma Lehman were married 61 years on that same day. Ed and Linda Zappe, Ed and Beth's mom and dad, 60 years this coming week. My wife and I, 16 years. Deals the day before us, 15 years, right? How many other June wedding anniversaries? All right, some more. Nice. So you know what that means. You know what it went from, we knew each other, we knew about each other, to a relationship that, you know, God says the only thing that's going to separate you now is death. What God has brought together, I said at that wedding ceremony, is let man not separate. You made promises and vows to that person. I didn't do that with anyone else. I did it with her. And I know Jess, I mean, we grew up together. But there was a relationship that I wanted it to be more than just I knew her about her. And so that changed when we got married. And Paul even gives that little picture in Ephesians when he talks about marriage. He's talking about Christ and the church. There's this level of knowing that is different than any other level that there is in relationship. You can know about God. You know who knew the most about God? They'd run circles around us about information about God, or the Pharisees. They knew everything there was to know about God. You know who was the furthest away from God? The Pharisees. So this knowing must be more than just information. Maybe you know about God. You've got information about God. That's wonderful. But God's calling you into something deeper. And apparently Jesus says there is a difference between this knowing. So that same Greek word that I just showed you, he uses here in John chapter 17. Jesus is now praying to the Father. In verse 3, Jesus says, now this is eternal life. Okay, that's what we're all going for. We gave our lives to Christ, and Jesus says, this is what it means to have life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, that they know you. Okay, what does that mean? Because I can know about God. There's atheists out there that know about God. Even the demons know about God. That's what James says. They know about God. They believe who he is. But they're not saved. They're actually opposed to God. So it's not just information. Because Jesus says in Matthew 7, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus talking, teaching about the kingdom, those who have life, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? This is Jesus. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Gnosko, it's that same word. Away from me, you evildoers. So there's got to be some other knowing that's going on here than just information, than just knowing about God. It takes a level of depth and trust and knowledge, kind of like getting married. You know about that person, but when you say, I do, that relationship changes. And you know them way better 16 years later than you did year one. 60 years later. Like that kind of knowing, you've done and experienced so much of life together. And that relationship isn't moving apart. It's actually getting tighter. Now after 61 years, the only thing that's prying that thing apart is death. Because that relationship is so strong and so tight. So that takes work. It takes communication. If you ignored each other for a long time, you wouldn't have a strong relationship. Think about some friends you have. The friends that you haven't talked to in a while, how strong and good is that relationship? Probably not very. If you're struggling in your marriage, I guarantee you it's because you're not communicating enough. You don't talk to each other. There's no depth there in your conversations. Well, I want to suggest to you that that's exactly what prayer is all about. That kind of knowing is what happens when you know God in prayer. Because the kind of knowing I'm describing, you need to be able to have a prayer life like David had, where you, it's not hard for you, it pours out of you. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. There's just this level of depth there that David was talking to his friend. David was talking to his creator. If you know God, you know prayer. I mean, this is what Jesus did. I shared this verse with you a couple weeks ago. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus is just getting started here. I mean, we're in chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house. He went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. The Son of God, the Messiah, God in human flesh, sets time aside to communicate with the Father. Was this a once and done kind of thing? No. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke points out to us, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. He often did this. This was like part of his life. This wasn't just a once and done kind of thing and a very not very often kind of thing. It was often that you couldn't find Jesus because he was off someplace and he was praying. And sometimes, on one of those occasions, Jesus went to the mountainside to pray and he spent all night praying to God. Now, Jesus, who obviously had the closest relationship there was to have with the Father, still takes time aside, models for us, and we'll talk about this in the future, the model prayer we have, the Lord's Prayer. That's how we, if you grew up in the church, you know it by, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the model prayer. Jesus not only modeled it himself by doing it, but he was trying to teach. Because I think, and we'll see in Luke's gospel, I think when the disciples see Jesus praying, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's when he gives them that lesson on prayer. Because there must have been, I believe, something powerful going on when Jesus spent time with the Father in prayer. To know God the way I'm describing, you need to know prayer. You need to not just know about prayer. You can go to church your whole life and you would know, yes, prayer is important. You could come to Grace Church and you'd know, yep, that's what Pastor Ted does on Sunday. Like every Sunday, Pastor Ted is praying. I know all about that. You know, when you come to different meetings, when we do everything at Grace Church, there's prayer. You can know about prayer without ever actually doing it. The prayer I'm talking about is the same knowing of God. If you want to know God the way David knew God, I believe that's open to us. And I honestly believe that if we truly want to be a disciple, then we have to have an active prayer life. David modeled it for us. God invites us into it. Jesus showed us that he himself did it, modeled it, taught it, and we find actually that's what the early church did. Jesus ascends, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. A handful of verses later, they all join together. This is the brand new Christians. Hey, go and change the world with the gospel. Take the good news out there all over the place to the ends of the earth. What'd they do? Verse 14. They all join together constantly in prayer. The people that were there, they said, this is what our life is going to reflect. They all join together constantly in prayer, along with the women, Mary and the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the disciples and the others that were there. Chapter 2, Pentecost happens. Lots of people get saved that day. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. And so what did they do? This is the very beginning. We're only in chapter 2 of the story of the church. If we wanted to identify, if nothing else, if we didn't do anything else as a church, what should we devote ourselves to? Apparently, the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's what they devoted themselves to. Because if you're going to know God, if you're going to be a disciple, then you need to have a prayer life. So church started growing. We're in Acts chapter 6. I'm not going through the whole book of Acts. You can page through it for yourself to find all this. Just a handful of examples. They're doing all kinds of stuff now. They've got VBS going on. They got coffee and worship going on. They've got Mission Week this week. The gym kids are coming back this week tonight for gym Mission Week. They got all kinds of stuff going on. Well, in the early church, they had lots of widows. They were trying to do a lot of meal ministry kind of things. And it was getting to be very busy. Lots of activity, lots of work. And the disciples said, "Hey, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." So we're going to have them do that. But we will turn that responsibility over to them. And we will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. Apparently, this is pretty important. We cannot do what God wants us to do apart from prayer. I cannot be the pastor that I really want to be apart from prayer. I know a lot about prayer. I can point to more verses. I've got books of theology on prayer in my office. That does me no good if I'm not doing it. If I don't have an active prayer life. If you want to know God more deeply, it is not going to happen without prayer. You can know a lot about people but not be in relationship with them. And it's really easy today. Because of social media, because everything is on Facebook, because everything is on Instagram, because everything is on Snapchat, whatever. You can know a lot about people and not really know them. I know a lot about the Phillies. They're playing at 11:30. I don't know why, but now you're going to get out of here by 11:30 because the Phillies are going to be on. If they would just play every Sunday in the morning, you'd have a shorter service. I'm just kidding. I could care less about them. But I know a lot about the Phillies. We've been watching the Phillies. I can list some stats for you. I know some information about their families. You know, it's fun to read up about them. What got them to Major League Baseball. The different things that they're involved in, the different things that they do. I can tell you all the stats. But if I went down there and said, "Hey, Bryce Harper, how you doing, man? Let's give me a hug." Like, stop that guy. Get a restraining order on him. Some crazy fan. He doesn't know me. I know a lot about him. The same thing can happen with God. You can know a lot about God. If you want to know God for real, something else has to happen in your life to be in relationship with him. And that's something I believe is prayer. Prayer and devotion to the word. God has something he wants you to know. Here it is. Are you listening? Are you spending time with him? When your relationship with God goes like this and you start separating, you don't feel as close. It happens in relationship. You know what it's like. Maybe it's happened in your marriage. You just don't feel like you know each other quite as well. Maybe it's happened in a friendship. It's because you're not talking. It's because you're not spending time together. You're not having experiences with one another. You're not doing things. You stop going to the family reunion. You stop calling up and saying, "Hey, do you want to go to Reading Phillies game? I got 4 free tickets. They're up here after the end of the service." It can happen with God. So if we keep using baseball as the example, I know about baseball. I know a lot about it. I can tell you about it. I can give you like a list of rules. But I am a way better, I could coach baseball because I know how to play it. I didn't say I necessarily played it real well, but I know how to play it. But I had to practice at it. I didn't just know about baseball and say, "Hey, coach, put me in." I know all about baseball. I can give you the rules. I can tell you all the Hall of Famers. I can do all that. It doesn't make me a good baseball player. You know what I had to do? "Hey, practice is at 6:00 tonight. Be down here at the ball field and take some ground balls. Do some batting practice. Get some fly balls." I want you to know that that's exactly how prayer is. It is that simple. If you don't practice prayer, you're not going to get better at it. I was a better player because I put a lot of time and energy into baseball. And I know the game because I played the game. Knowing God is the same way. You can know all about him, but unless you put this into practice, it's just not going to happen. And it's as easy as, if you've ever played a sport, showing up when you're supposed to show up. Now, I said it's important for you to have a time. Baseball practice was at 6 o'clock. Guess what? I was there at 6 o'clock. I got all my work done so I could be there at 6 o'clock to practice. That time was set apart. My coach set it apart for me and said, we're showing up on this time. And that's what I did. If you don't have a time for prayer, as I told you before with my calendar, if there's no slot there, it won't happen. Just like if you're going to show up to practice, your coach gives you a time. You need the same thing going on with prayer. You know, I had to go to the ball field in Reamstown every day. Monday through Friday, we had practice. I knew the place where I was going. I suggested to you, you need to find that time and you need to find that place. If your house is crazy, go outside your house. If you got more quiet at work, do it at work. But you need to have that place. Honestly, it's this easy. Just like I did practice for baseball, this is how I am applying my prayer life. And you need a plan. Every day I went to practice, some of you guys know, when you take your kids to practice and your coach has no clue what they're doing, it's a train wreck. It's a nightmare. If you coached and you had a bunch of 8-year-olds there and you had no clue what to do with them, it's a nightmare. And you're like, why am I coaching? You need a plan. And so every day I went to practice, coach said, you're doing this. Infielders are doing this. Outfielders are doing this. You're taking batting practice here. We're going to learn this play here. They had a plan. So you need to have a plan. And I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to try and make this as easy as possible for you. Now, I shared a video this past week via YouTube, Facebook, I think. I don't remember. If you get our email newsletter, I shared it there. There was a link there. And I was sharing about what we're doing in July. And I referenced a 30-day prayer challenge. And so if you are on a device and you use a device for devotions and that kind of stuff, we're going to share a link with you. July 1st through July 30th, I am encouraging you, challenging you to spend every day, those 30 days, with the Lord in prayer. And we're giving you a plan. It's a 30-day prayer challenge. There's a passage of scripture that's going to go with it. And then if you're getting the online version, there's a guy that actually prays a prayer, but that's not, he's praying that. You can listen along and pray that along with him, but I'm encouraging you to pray. If you don't use any of that kind of stuff, we're going to have printouts in the back, and you can take a sheet with you, and you can use that sheet for those 30 days to spend time with the Lord each and every day. So I'm going away for 2 weeks, vacation 1 week, and just not being back here, a kind of vacation. I got to do some work, but whatever. I won't be here. But I am going to be doing the same thing that you are doing, because I wholeheartedly believe that if we want to experience, and I do, I won't speak for you, I do want to experience the kind of relationship that David talked about in Psalm 63, where I say, God, I've experienced your love in such a way that your love is better than life itself. I want to tell you that that's the kind of relationship God's inviting you into. It's not just reserved for the Bible. It's what God offers to us through his son Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit we just sung about. His presence in our life. If you want to experience it, then you need to spend time with God. And my prayer is that after these 30 days, you'll have developed that time, that place, and that plan, that it just becomes a rhythm of your life. It becomes a habit that you do this on a regular basis. Now, it doesn't have to be an hour every day. I know your lives are busy. I'm suggesting at least 15 minutes. Can you spend 15 minutes with the Lord in the Word and in prayer for 30 days in July? I'm doing that, and I'm inviting you to be a part of that. I believe that if we're actually going to be disciples who make disciples, we're actually going to live that out. That will only happen if we know God the way Jesus knew God, the way David knew God, the way the disciples knew God. You know how they knew God the way they did? All they did was pray. They just devoted themselves to spending time with God. I honestly believe, I don't know if it's a money-back guarantee or not, if you spend 30 days with the Lord in prayer, every day for those 30 days, I do think your life will be different. I think your relationship with the Lord will be different. I think it would change some of your relationships within your marriage and your family and your friends. I think the Lord will change you. Because prayer is where it happens. I shared before, prayer is the battlefield. It's not out there. It's actually praying before you get out there. And so we're going to spend 30 days together in prayer. And you can either use it on your device or you can grab one of those papers. And I think if you take this serious, I think if you spend time with the Lord in prayer, I wholeheartedly believe it'll change your life. And I wholeheartedly believe God will use it to change our church. That when people walk in here, they say something is different about that place. Those people are a little weird. That's okay. It's okay to be weird. But they experience this relationship with God that I've never experienced, and I want that. It's like we're in a desert, and we say to God, we are in a dry and thirsty land. My whole being cries out to you. I earnestly seek you. Your love, God, is better than life itself. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. My prayer is at the end of the July, you know God way better than you knew him at the beginning of July. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today together in prayer. God, believing that you work through the power of prayer and you work in our lives through prayer. God, and I know that this is not something that's reserved for the Psalms, 150 of them put together to just give us an example, a model of what prayer looks like. God, that Jesus did it, that the disciples did it, that Paul did it, Lord. I believe it's offered to us right now if we would just take that next step. And God, I believe that you can and will change our life. So Lord, as we get ready for our church picnic where we just celebrate church family and just being a church together, Lord, and have fun that day, share a meal together, Lord, I pray that you would prepare us for July in a time in which I am asking, Holy Spirit, that you would work in people's hearts, that maybe some people just knew about you, God, but I pray that they would truly know you, that the relationship would be different, and that you would do that through prayer. And so, Lord, we give July to you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move and work and however you want to move and work in our hearts and our lives. And God, that we would just give everything we have back to you. And that when we do that, Lord, you would change us and help us to know you more deeply. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.